Your worship leaders this morning. A saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. And as long as you're in this flesh, you're going to fall down sometime. But the good news is that you can get back up. Amen. You can get back in line. And you can begin to worship and glorify God again. Because he's just that kind of God. And I thank the Lord for his grace. I thank him for his mercy, for his goodness to us as his children. I thank God for that song today. Because I don't know about you. I fell down, but I got back up. Amen. Amen. And that person who says they have no sin, Jesus said they are a lie and the truth is not in them. Amen. So we all sin and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy that he allows us to come back and that fellowship to be restored and our walk continue with him. Pray for those that are away today, and vacation season is just about over. Amen. But God is good, and thank God for all of us who are here today. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. I'm going to read one verse in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message today. There is a word from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and it reads as follows. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Bow with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we're so grateful, O Lord, that you've allowed us this blessed privilege to come into this place of worship. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, for your loving kindness, and for this blessed opportunity, Lord, to touch and agree with the saints of God. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would speak today, Lord. Think with my mind, speak with my mouth, that you may be heard and not me, O God. I pray that you would bless the word, and most of all, O Lord, bless the worshipers who are present today, that they, O God, might receive a word that will bless them in the years to come. Remember those that are away, O Lord. Remember those who are sick, those who are shut in. We pray specifically, O God, for Sister Danielle Robinson this morning. We pray for Sister Julia Lindsay, Lord. Touch them and bring healing to their bodies, O God. Now, Lord, let us enjoy this time in the word that you, O God, might be glorified. In Jesus' name, add to the kingdom, O Lord. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. On last Sunday, we talked about being filled, asking the Lord to fill us with his spirit and with his power. And today we want to lift up the subject of experiencing God's presence, a peace, experiencing God's peace. Peace is something that everyone needs. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I got an amen out there, because I know everybody is not experiencing peace at a level that they should, because God has promised us what? Perfect peace. Amen. And so we want to talk about that today. And, you know, most people describe peace as the absence of conflict. And though our country is not in a state of war with another country at this time, most people are worrying or concerned about what's going to happen in the days to come. Amen. There's an atmosphere that we wonder, what is Donald Trump, what is the president of North Korea going to do that could jeopardize our security and our safety? And we find ourselves worried about those events, those world events that are created because of differing opinions, and what it does, it creates unrest, it creates fear in the hearts and minds of God's people. And I was thinking about a song I heard the other day when it said, "You didn't create me to worry. You didn't create me to fear. You created me to worship." And certainly as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our position should be not one of worry, not one of fear, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Amen. And our desire should be to lift up, to exalt, to worship God whenever we have an opportunity. Now, I understand the concern when you look at the violence that is pervasive in our streets here, even in Kansas City. And it is a violence that creates unrest, and we've seen even accidents that just continue to take human lives. But all of those things, they create a unsettling spirit within us that causes us to not have the peace that God really desires that we should have. The incident that happened in Virginia on yesterday again creates another sense of unrest. It's unsettling when the person holding the highest office in our nation refuses to call evil evil. When he wants to blame those who are perfectly innocent and said, on all sides, we need peace. We need God to move, amen, to give us that peace that we as the children of God should be experiencing. And I mean, you look at it even just on a local level, on our level, you have people moving from one community to another, trying to escape the confusion and the chaos that is existent where they are. You have people moving from one part of the country to another part of the country in the same effort to escape all the craziness and stuff that's going on where they are. I'm not going to ask this morning how many of you left home or leave home every day and you have a weapon in your car. Amen. Because I know some of us do. But I just want to say, I just want to put a pin right there and just say, if you have a weapon, be certain that you have a trigger lock on it. Because when I heard about this little 2-year-old boy shooting himself this week, I don't care how troubling times are, we need to protect our children. Amen. So as we look at the peace that God gives to his children today, there was a man named Alfred Nobel. And he had an admirable desire. He wanted to create, he actually created dynamite. And he wanted to create an explosive that was powerful enough to break up rock so that they could remove it in order to build roads and to build buildings. But as humans do, they perverted the good intention that Mr. Nobel had, and they began to use it for war and for killing people. And it really saddened him. It depressed him to the degree that he was hopeless and really didn't know what to do. And one day, the thought came to his mind, what would happen if we reward people for making peace? He took $9 million, put it in a trust fund, and each year he awarded one person $1 million for their effort in creating peace. And then when those people get that prize, internationally they become known as Nobel Peace Prize winners. Well, I just want you to know God is looking for some kingdom peace prize people. Amen. He wants us to be people who are motivating others to live peaceful lives. He's wanting us to be the catalyst that causes peace to be present wherever we are. Matter of fact, Jesus even made the promise. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, amen, for theirs is what? The kingdom of God. So therefore, when we look at this, we should understand how powerful peace is. I received a phone call at 6:10 this morning from an individual who is deeply troubled and in a very precarious situation. And all I could do was encourage them and pray for them and let them know that I will get back with you before the day is over. But it takes being able to share a word of comfort, a word of peace, a word of encouragement with our brothers and sisters when they fall on hard times. Well, God wants us to be peacemakers using the blessing of benefit that comes through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. So I just want to briefly look at four points this morning related to experiencing God's peace. And the first one deals with the source of peace. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, in the A part of the verse, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Now, a source is a place of origin. It is a place where something originates. It is a place, a person where you can get something that you need. And when you look at this, you understand that though the world has all kinds of people, and not in the spiritual sense, but in the secular sense, we have arbitrators, we have mediators, we have negotiators, and their job is to bring agreement. It is to bring peace between differing factions, and in their work, they work tirelessly to bring peace and agreement in and among people. But the thing you have to understand about the peace that they bring, it is short-lived. It is temporal. It is only for the duration of the contract or whatever the agreement is that they establish. Then when you look at the peace that God gives, and God is the source of our peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what I want you to understand is that this is not an ordinary peace. It's not a common peace. This is divine peace that comes directly from God. This is a peace that calms our hearts when trouble is all around. It is a peace that settles our hearts and removes fear and allows us to continue to trust in God and understand that we can, you can even find peace in your family. You can find peace in your friends. You can find peace in your neighbors. You can find peace in a lot of areas of our lives. But the peace that we find is a temporal peace. It's not going to last. Amen. Now, as much as I love my wife, and as much as I believe she loves me, it's not always peaceful around the Mobley house. Why? Because we are two different, unique individuals, and sometimes our differences clash. Now, we're not going to fall out, get a divorce, or hurt one another, but it's not a peaceful situation. But in the context of the promise that God makes in Isaiah 26 and Jesus makes in John 14, it is a context of promise that God says that my gift to you is peace, because I am the source. If you want genuine, amen, if you want that abiding peace that most people desire, that it only comes through right relationship with my son, Jesus Christ. So if you want peace, you're not going to get it anyplace other than at the throne of mercy. You'll have to find peace at God's throne. Now, not only is he the source, but he gave us peace that has power. Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, guard is a military term, and it is like a soldier standing watch at the gate of a fortress. It's like the men who stand out in front of the Queen's house in England, stands out in front of Parliament. They are guarding the interest. And basically, the writer Paul here is saying that God's peace serves as a sentinel. It serves as a guard that keeps watch over our hearts and our mind. Now, the peace of God serves kind of as a shield or a force field, amen, that protects us against the evil if we're obedient to what he tells us to do in verse 6 of Philippians 4. Now, do I have any Matrix fans in the house today? Anybody watch or like the Matrix? I know I do. Now, just typically, and I probably should have asked them to put it on the screen this morning, but there was one scene in the Matrix where Neo standing there, he got on all his black and stuff, and he looking cool and suave, and all the enemies in front of him, they all got their guns pointed at him. And he's just like, bring it on. They fire, and he puts his hand up. All the bullets come by there, and then they just, they drop. The peace of God, when we allow it to envelop us, it does the same thing with all the fiery darts that Satan is shooting at us. It gives us, when we are not anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're making our requests known unto God, the peace of God will invade our lives. The peace of God will cover us. It will bring protection. When we stop worrying about stuff and we just allow God, we trust God to give us everything that we need. We take it to God in prayer with supplication. And see, supplication is powerful because supplication deals with the fact that while we're praying and what we're asking God for, we're doing it in a spirit of humility. And though we are bowing before him, we're asking with earnestness. And then we see God move in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And most of you all know this. I don't know if I put it in. I probably didn't. But it's one of those where Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may raise you up in due time. So if you are burdened, if you are troubled and they are pressing you down, the best place for you to go is down on your knees and humble yourself before God and tell him all about your troubles with supplication. And the scripture promises that in due time, he will raise you back up. The problem with when he raises us up, he raises up with a mind that is free from doubt. We fear is gone. Distress has left us. And all night and all day, God's peace is watching over our hearts and our mind. See, I trust the Lord to keep me. Deacon Harris and Sister Joel and I were talking this morning about why people don't believe God. And don't you know, and Deacon Harris said, I don't understand that. Y'all know how brother is. And he said, when you go to sleep, you don't even know where you at. And I said, yeah, if you dream, and most of the time you don't even remember the dream. But when you close your eyes and really go to sleep, you are totally unconscious of everything that's going on around you. I told him, I said, you close your eyes and go to sleep and wake up in glory. And you don't even understand how the transition took place. But I want you to understand this morning, if you want peace, and if you want your peace to be perpetual, you want it to be continual, trust in the Lord. Amen. Accept the power that God's peace brings into the life of a child of God. Now, and the reason I tell you to do that is because you were called to peace. You didn't just happen upon it. God called you to peace. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. God didn't call us to the confusion and the chaos that we find ourselves dealing with on a regular basis. Amen. That was not the call of God, but God called us to experience his divine peace. But there is a pivotal word in that verse. And it said, and that word is let, which means that you have the authority, you have the power to have the peace of God have control in your life. It says, let the peace of God rule in your life. And rule, again, is a powerful word because it talks about what? Control. And it's one of those that if the peace of God is ruling in your heart, if it has control of your heart, it reminds you of an umpire in an athletic event who has the right to make the determination as to whether it was a two-pointer or a three-pointer, if it was really a touchdown or not. And I was watching sports a few weeks ago, and they were having the 100-meter race, the finals. Amen. And here is Justin Gatlin. Here are a few more men, and there's Usain Bolt. Everybody just knew Usain was going to win. It's supposed to be his last 100-meter race. Get in your blocks, get set, pow. They took off, and it was a young man from the United States was out in front of everybody. Usain caught up. Justin Gatlin caught up. And when they crossed the finish line, it really wasn't even a photo finish. But had it been, There is an umpire. There is a referee who would have made the determination as to who the winner was. And I can tell you that Justin Gatlin beat Usain Bolt in that 100-meter final. Amen. And see, the peace of God acts like a umpire. It guides us in our decision making. It guides us in doing the things that God has called us to do. And in that, there are two things that we have to consider. First and foremost, is it consistent with the fact that you are at peace with God? And you know, you're at peace with God because you used to be at war with him before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So now that you're on Christ's team, is the choice that you're about to make consistent with his divine will? You got to think about that. Is that it? And then, secondly, will your choice, amen, allow the peace of God to continue to abide in your heart? And the reason why you have to consider these things is because sin offends God. And it ruins the peace, it ruins the fellowship, it ruins the rest that we have in Christ Jesus, because he expects us to live according to his will. Then secondly, peace is also relational. We are called as a church to live in peace and harmony, amen, with other believers. And that peace of God will cause us to live in a state of unity. It will cause us to maintain a peaceful heart with thanksgiving towards others who are part of the body of Christ. See, gratitude comes naturally, amen, in a believer's response to all the good things that God has done in their life. Has God blessed anybody? Has God been good to anybody in here this morning? If God has, amen, through your humility with thanksgiving, you ought to be trying to hug, encourage other believers to glorify God because he's been so good to you. And what I would just encourage you to do is make the right choice and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God's peace rules where and when we allow it to. So, as I said, that operative word there is let the peace of God. We have to choose to let God's peace rule in our hearts. Then my final point is perfect peace. I want to go back to that third verse in Isaiah 26, where it says that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God creates peace in the life of the believer who placed their trust in him. And trust is a fixed position, amen, in Christ Jesus that allows us to enjoy God's best. See, this peace, those who don't know Jesus Christ, the unsaved, can never experience it. He didn't make perfect peace for people who didn't believe in him. It's reserved for those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ. It's not a partial peace. It's not an imperfect peace, but it is a perfect peace, amen, that only God can give. God gives perfect peace to those who keep him at the forefront of their thinking. Now, he says, he said very simply, whose mind is stayed on you. So when we look at this, we understand that that perfect peace comes as a byproduct of us thinking about God, us thinking about where God is. We see, if we spend more time thinking about worldly things than we do the things of God and the kingdom of God, no wonder we don't have no peace. Oh, let me help you out. If you're worried about what the stock market gonna do, no wonder you ain't got no peace. If you're worried about what President Trump gonna do, no wonder you don't have perfect peace. If you're even worried about just what's gonna happen with health care, you can't have peace. See, amen. You know, because when you look at this thing, everything in this world is transient, is changing all the time, and there's only one thing that is stable, unchanging, and that is God himself. Amen. Every promise that God made is yes and amen, and it will not change. So the best thing for us to do is to fix our attention, amen, on God. See, because when we think about the holiness of God, we focus on the majesty of God. Amen. When we think about his love and the peace that he gives to us, we think about his provision, we think about his patience, amen, and we think about his glory, peace will be pervasive in our lives. The Apostle Paul, because he understood how important the thought process is, the mind is, he told the church at Philippi in the fourth chapter, he said, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Our peace will be perfect when we think about and we focus on God, when we place our trust in him. And it's so important, because I can remember an old song that we used to sing, and the title was "I Trust in God." And it goes on to say, wherever I may be, on mountain peaks or in the valley, amen, out on the stormy seas. And it says, though billows roll, God keeps my soul. And it says, my heavenly Father watches over me. And he goes on to say, I trust in God. I know that he cares for me. Amen. I trust in God, and he will my comfort be. And it says, though come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. Yeah. Somebody else knows it beside me. Praise the Lord. Amen. The thing that you need to understand, and we can go all the way back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and it tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge him in verse 6. Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our path. So when we really trust the Lord and we give everything to his control, our marriages will get better. Our kids will act better.
The boss will be nicer. We'll find that the scripture promises that he'll even make our enemies leave us alone. We'll stop worrying about Donald Trump's foolishness, amen, because we recognize that God is in control. And see, I'm happy this morning because the main peace that I have is what Paul wrote about in Romans 5 when he says we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, why am I happy? I'm happy because Christ became the propitiation for our sin. I'm happy because he chose to give his life that you and I might have eternal life. I'm happy because when he died, he didn't stay dead, but he got up early that Sunday morning, amen, with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Yeah, and so now that I've got peace with God in that arena, I know that I have eternal life. I know that I'm going to go back to glory with him and spend eternity with him. I'm just letting him rule. I'm letting him reign in my life so that I can have not just that temporal passing peace, but I want perfect peace. I want complete peace that God has promised to those who will keep their minds stayed on him. Those who will place their trust in him. Two painters, and I'm getting ready to let you go. They were asked to paint a picture that depicted, that demonstrated peace. The first painter went up to his easel and he painted a picture of a beautiful lake with mountains in the background, and the sun was going down. And the sun was glistening on the water. And this was a very beautiful picture that demonstrated and had a calming effect on everybody who looked at it. The second painter walked up to his easel, and he began to paint the picture of a lake. But his picture showed darkness. It showed lightning flashing. And it showed dark clouds rolling overhead and the wind blowing and the water bumping up against the shore. And it was a frightening picture because it looked like it was just total chaos. But down in the bottom right-hand corner, there were two huge rocks. And between those rocks, there was a little bird that was sitting there. And he was just chirping and singing a song. And I just want you to understand that when things look chaotic, understand that there is a rock that we can go to that is able to allow us to experience perfect peace. And I understand why Dr. Watts cried out, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I know that Jesus Christ is our rock. He is our foundation. He's a rock in a weary land. And all we have to do is allow him to rule and to reign. And the peace of God, amen, his tranquility will overrule all of our circumstances. Two things. If you want to experience perfect peace, let your mind be stayed on the Lord. Amen. Grandma and them used to sing, I woke up this morning with my mind. Stay on Jesus. think on the Lord. And then secondly, trust him irrevocably. I don't care what the circumstances look like. Trust God to make whatever's going on in your life work together for your good. Don't throw in the towel. Don't cave in. Continue to hold on to God and to trust him to bring you out victorious on the other side. Amen. The Hebrew boys had to go through the furnace. Amen. Daniel had to go through the lion's den. Israel had to cross the Red Sea. Whatever situation you're dealing with, trust God to make it work for your good. Experiencing the peace of God. Do you really want divine peace? Do you want that peace that passes all understanding, that is beyond human comprehension? I can only speak for me. That's the peace that I desire to have in my life at all times. But I do want you to understand it is available to each and every one of us if we put our trust in God. Stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church.